You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I actually have a little something for every single one of you today. So
really, a little something.
He didn't like the brushing teeth thing we did yesterday.
Yeah, A-team, what up?
B-team missed out on that. Don't get me started.
Okay, no, we need to talk about A-team, B-team, because that is scandal in the office. Whittingham, I think, with his worst mistake to date as an executive producer, just a terrible job by Whittingham.
Awful, Whitty.
Labeling us, although I like my team.
Yeah. Well,
you have to go with neutral terms like red and blue, something like that.
No, I like my team. I didn't like the name of my team.
No, you're right.
Oh, yeah. Putting together a plan for a hurricane, meaning we can't come in the studio in 45 minutes. Yeah, no, I definitely should have thought through every detail, including how we named our team.
Maybe give each team a name like a hurricane would be named.
Right, exactly.
I heard a little of this yesterday, and I was like, in my head, I was like, Whitty, what are you doing? You're basically creating the Stanford prison experiment. You're like dividing people into two groups, one of which has a clear authoritative name and the other of which has a clear like sublimated to the other group name. You're going to tear the office apart.
It could have been the Dan team and the Stu team.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that, Mike, the whole sublimated thing.
I am mortified to learn. I can't believe this is a thing that happened yesterday. And on behalf of Stugatz, Billy, and the Stugatz army, I want to be on the other team, too. I don't want to.
You aren't the only one.
On
I mean,
Hey.
Did I say that out loud?
Hey, you want to
we'll
be on team A?
Team.
I don't.
You should be on team A hole, Dan.
Want to be on team B? Hey. Let's do stat of the day. You guys are like a
no
buddy
respect.
Cop.
Stat of the day.
They really are today.
Sitcom.
This is stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
It is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Folks, Tom Brady, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, as you probably know, has the most wins among all active quarterbacks in the regular season and the postseason combined. He has won 280 football games. However, according to the way that Pro Football Reference defines game-winning drives, if you only counted games in which he has engineered a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime, he would have the eighth most wins of any active quarterback. He has 54 game-winning drives in the regular season, 14 game-winning drives in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers has 11 total wins in the playoffs. Brady has 14 game-winning drives in the playoffs.
Amazing.
Compiler.
You love your numbers, Mike, and baseball has a way of distributing them in a way that allows us to measure players accurately. Tom Brady's winning is the greatest run of any kind of athletic conquering we've ever seen in sports by so many leaps and bounds that he's had a Hall of Fame career after a Hall of Fame career. He's had about three of them.
Yeah, you could make the argument he's had three Hall of Fame careers. In that sport, because there's only 16 or now 17 games, it is the longevity and the excellence has combined to give him not only every record, but he has football records the way that, like, Cy Young has baseball records, where Cy Young won 511 games and no one will come within 60% of that for the rest of time, you know? And that's what Brady is. Like, it's so bananas. It's so many standard deviations better than the next person.
But as you get categories. As you remove yourself from generations, right, as players talk this season about whether or not they're going to wear the number of Bill Russell, and we measured winning a certain way back then when Bill Russell was the greatest winner, do you know how hard it's going to be to explain Brady 60 years from now to people?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, by the way, about Brady is that so many of those baseball records are like pre-integration, so it shouldn't really count, or it includes World War II years where, you know, Hank Greenberg and Ted Williams were fighting in you know, France and Germany and or the Pacific Theater. And so Brady's winning is in the modern era of football with all of the advantages of modern football and everything else. And there, so even like his numbers shouldn't be better. The only thing you can say, I guess, is that the rule changes allowed offense to be more efficient or whatever. But like, his numbers shouldn't be that much better than the guys who played in the old days. And yet they not only are, they're so much better, they'll never be topped.
He'll still be playing 60 years from now.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Hey, I have something I need to get off my chest.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
A little something?
Well, I got a little something.
All right.
I got a little something for the crew. Hmm. Yesterday, Jessica Smetana took to TikTok, an app that I neither use nor understand, to call me unprofessional and to demand that I be fired from my job as the unpaid stats intern. And I am here to say, I agree 100%. And here's the thing. Why is she the only one who has my back on this? Where are the rest of you, my so-called friends? Why aren't you calling me?
They're on the B team, Mike.
You're doing our work.
Yeah, you are all on the B team of my friendship. And you need to be rallying around the concept of disliking me and wanting me to be fired. And so I have a little something for you. I'm going to help get you started. Are you ready? Here we go. Hey, Mike, I looked up that Ohio State-Miami national championship thing you were talking about from 2003. It was totally pass interference. Miami deserved to lose. How do you feel about that? You upset about me? You should getting upset? Hey, Billy, you watch too much reality TV. You're wasting your life, and Tua is overrated. Hey, Chris Cody.
What's up?
The Cesta Cyclones are a third-rate operation, and Tua is overrated. How do you feel about me now? Hey, Juju. I'm not going to say anything bad about you.
Yes,
you wield too much power on the internet. I'm not saying anything bad about Juju. Hey, Jessica. The Bears suck. Clemson sucks. Dabo sucks. Formula One's boring. I can't say anything bad about Notre Dame because my wife went there. The Steelers suck. All 15 of your other teams suck. Hey, Roy.
Panthers.
The Florida Panthers will never beat the Lightning. You know why?
No.
They're not good enough on the forecheck. I don't know what forechecking is because hockey's boring. Hey, Whittingham.
No.
Oh, good shout. A shed load. Bona fides. Enough with the highfalutin language, okay? Indeed, good sir, more of your conversation would infect my brain. That is an insult from Shakespeare's Coriolanus, Act 2, Scene 1. Whoa. Hey, Tony, everyone makes money by fading your NFL picks every week. How's that feel? Also, I've been waiting to say this for like 2 months.
Mike, I wanted to fire you 3 months ago. What's happening here?
I've been waiting to say this for so long. Your car did not get attacked by a samurai sword. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Hey, Stu Gods,
yes?
Guess what?
What?
I used to go to Grateful Dead shows too, And then I graduated from college. Also, Tua is overrated. And finally, Dan Le Batard. Guess what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
You don't care enough about sports teams to even find an angle on you to insult. Why are you even doing a sports podcast? You don't like sports. You should be doing a podcast about dogs or veganism or Watergate or something. Fire me. Fire me, all of you.
No.
Fire me.
Is it gate made of water?
We will see you tomorrow. Thank you.
God damn it.
We enjoy all of our time with you. And what I love just from sports last night is Mike Schur is now framing himself as a publicly decent person, a modern day philosopher who writes best-selling books about how you should behave morally in a complicated time. And yet he's watching Aaron Judge yesterday, and he is delighting that New York was denied the moment of being able to have their pinstripe Roger Maris was the greatest. New York is always the greatest moment in New York. They had to do it in Canada, and he spit acid at his television laughing at the Yankees because they couldn't have their moment at home.
The only thing better than him having to hit number 61 in Toronto is if the guy who had dropped the home run ball had been in a Yankee uniform. That was the only way that could have gone better for me. But otherwise, it was perfect.
Who's the home run leader? Why are we celebrating this retroactively? As it's, the thing is strange to me to see people now strip down Barry Bonds yet again through the steroids.
Not just
stuff.
People. Roger Maris Jr. is saying, no, 61's the number. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, guys, well, what are we doing? You don't want to go down this road. The home run, the all-time record for home runs in a season is 73. The alt then 70, and then 66 or whatever. Sosa, McGuire, those, like, the game never cared about PEDs or cheating. They actively encouraged it, in fact, or tacitly encouraged it because they liked the way that it was helping drive attendance and driving ratings. You can't play this game. You cannot go backwards and start stripping away records, because then you have to go look at a lot of people that you don't want to look at, people that the game reveres and holds in very high esteem, all of whom also cheated and did a bunch of stuff that they shouldn't have done. So I understand the frustration if you're Roger Maris Jr. and the thing that your family has is 61 home runs. I get it. You can't play that game. Joe Posnanski, with whom I do the podcast here on Meadowlark Media, my actual job that I actually get paid for, he wrote a very good piece about this, which you can read at his Substack, about this very situation, which is like, you cannot say that those guys don't have legitimate numbers without going backwards in time and investigating a lot of other numbers that can't be investigated but probably should have been, because the game never really cared. The game cared about one thing. They had one rule. The one rule was you can't bet on baseball. That's why Pete Rose broke that one rule and he was banned for life, because that's the only rule they had and the only rule they cared about or enforced. So you just can't make that claim. It's not a good idea to make that claim, because there's a lot of guys who played the game that are among the most beloved figures in the history of the sport who have admitted in their post-playing days to taking amphetamines and doing whatever else that they had to do, corking their bats and everything else. And so that is just, that's a non-starter as an argument as far as I'm concerned. Aaron Judge is having the greatest year. By the way, my stat of the day tomorrow will be about Aaron Judge. There's a little tease for you.
Wow. A little tease.
He's having an incredible year.
Trying to get fired. A little tease. He'll be back tomorrow as he tries to get fired.
Yes, he's having an incredible year. One of the greatest years of all time. That should be enough. We should all be fine with that. But you can't make the claim that he's like the quote real home run champ, end quote.
I'd like to know, though, is that a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion? Are you espousing a liberal opinion in the right-wing church of baseball that we're celebrating with Roger Maris's kid today? Are you, when you say what you just said, I find it reasonable, it's agreeable to me, but the people still keeping Bonds out of the Hall of Fame, they wouldn't agree with you there, right?
Yeah, I would say this is, if there's such a thing as a I don't know, a progressive argument versus a conservative argument, I think mine is the progressive argument, because the other side is espoused by traditionalists and people who like to pretend that baseball has always been a sanctified cathedral where people where there was a right way and a wrong way to play the game. It's the people who don't like it when bats are flipped and home run struts take a long time and stuff like that. And it tends to be the more conservative side of things. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know. I think that there are a, there's a cadre of people who decided a long time ago that baseball was something very specific that had very specific guidelines and rules and regulations and codes and unwritten rules and all that kind of crap. And that is tends to be, not always, but tends to be the kind of person who likes to say that Roger Maris was actually the all-time home run leader because all of the other better years were tainted by something. And I disagree. I was as annoyed as anybody by the revelations that Sosa and McGuire and Bonds and everybody else were cheating. That sucks. But also, again, baseball players have been cheating since baseball was invented. There's a famous, Bill James wrote this thing about the Black Sox scandal, the famous Say It Ain't So Joe Black Sox scandal of 1919. And he pointed out in his book that he's dumbfounded and flabbergasted by the fact that that was anything, because he points out that like there were 20 or 30 bribery cheating scandals in baseball before that one. Like there were people were constantly being found out to have taken bribe money to throw games and to cheat and do all sorts of stuff. And it just so happened that that year the White Sox were very good. They were a very famous team. They were supposed to sweep the World Series. Instead, they got swept. That one was the tipping point that made baseball come in, hire Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who was a terrible racist and a bad dude, to be the first commissioner. And he was the one who brought down the hammer on the guys on the eight guys who cheated. But it was hardly the first time that a World Series had been thrown, that games had been thrown, that gamblers and the mob had been involved in baseball. And that, to me, is like a sort of metaphor for this larger situation, which is that baseball players themselves were taking any manner of illegal substances every single year that baseball existed, all the way up through the expose of Barry Bonds and A-Rod and everybody else. And so, you know, that's why you can't make the argument, is because there are guys in the Hall of Fame, very famous players in the Hall of Fame, who have admitted to taking illegal substances in order to play. So what do you do with that?
Mike is a, look at him. Look at him right now. Look him in the face and know that that is the rebel spirit, the anarchy spirit all around the cathedrals. Look at him. Rebellious, according to his peers, dangerous, because he is liberal in not protecting the integrity of the game. That we want to go back retroactively. Yet, do you realize that what the Maris is and the Yankees and everyone are doing with number 99, they are colluding to again take home runs away from Barry Bonds? You already blackballed him when the guy's OPS at 40. He was doing Brady things before Brady. His OPS at 40 was over 1,000, and you blackballed him.
Yeah, again, my stat of the day tomorrow, since my attempts to be fired have once again not only failed, but been like laughingly dismissed.
Yeah, this is your longest appearance ever.
Yeah.
My stat tomorrow is about Aaron Judge and Barry Bonds together. There's another tease for you.
All right, enough with the teases.
Shorten it up, though.
Get back over to the podcast. Thank you, Mike. Good talking to you.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Wait, is that the key that Stugas just pointed out, that I'm going on too long? If I go on super long, will that annoy everyone and eventually lead to me being fired?
Certainly with baseball.
I appreciate you doing that, Mike.
I already tried to get you fired, so you got to win over everyone else.
I appreciate you asking that question. Now, please, right now, continue for 19 minutes. Please, in the Calm app of meditation, give me 19 minutes of 90s players soothing for the audience. Begin now.
It's an A-team thing.
Glenn Allen Hill.
Wow.
Bruce Hurst. Gary DeSarcina, Bud Black, Julian Tavares, John Jaha, Pat Listach, Bob Wickman, Randy Velarde, Hensley Bam Bam Mullins.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, Or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don Lebatard.
Billy's got a conundrum here. He's got a dog now, and he doesn't know how to socialize with other dog owners.
Stugats.
Dogs, Dan, I don't know if you're aware of dogs. Dogs like to smell each other and kind of like socialize and all that stuff. So then I'm holding onto a leash with my dog on it while another owner is doing the same thing, and I don't know how to interact with this owner in this case. Like, hey, you know, my dog likes your dog's butt smell. As you guys know, I'm not good at small talk. So, like, this is a nightmare for me because what do I talk to these other dog owners about?
I experienced this exact same thing with my kid at a park.
It's the same thing. Kids and dogs
it's
are basically the same.
Same exact
thing. Put it on the poll right. At Lebatard Show. Are kids and dogs basically the same?
Because my 2-year-old wants to run over and play with other kids, and all of a sudden I'm standing there and our two kids are kind of chasing each other, and we're like, hey, yeah, there's our kids. How about that?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
As Florida is under siege from storm, and as, you know, America and democracy are under siege, our show, too, finds itself getting lashed by people because we're not doing it the way that you want us to do it. So we have gotten this, OMG in capital letters. Wow. You guys are really all over Tua's junk. Can't wait for the I told you so moment, because when it happens, you will get ridiculed daily. You are physically in Miami, but isolate the rest of the country when you do this crap. I had high hopes for the show and DraftKings, but the way you're going, this show won't grow the way you want, and you will lose your sponsorship. Got to do better, guys. Seriously.
Is that guy?
That's what's at stake tonight.
If we didn't lose sponsorship dollars during the Miami Hurricanes 2018 season, we're not losing any sponsorship dollars over Tua.
This is what's at stake tonight.
It was quite a text from Witty, by the way.
That's how he told us to come into work today.
And then he said we're all on the D team. Yeah.
Well, we've got this conflict. All right, Jessica, thank you. We need to get this out in the open in front of everybody because it's... Yesterday, we did a weird, disjointed show, and I don't know what the new normal is going to be. I don't know when storms are going to, I don't know when the next one's going to be, or when we're going to have to do show on remote again.
But, we haven't talked to anybody. You don't know anything.
I don't know anything. But yesterday, Chris Whittingham made what I believe is an egregious, suspendable management offense when he broke the team up into teams of A and B, and he, by naming them A and B, Chris Whittingham doomed us all to failure and just a total breach of leadership.
That's not even where his mistake was. His mistake was putting the personnel on Team B that he did. They would have been fine with being Team A, I think.
Team A would have been fine being called Team B.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's debatable.
Really?
No, I totally
no. No, yeah. I don't I think that admit, there's a single person in this group
when
that would have been okay
email,
with him calling Team
when
B.
When I saw that email, I was like, Team A. Be,
yeah,
nice.
Right. Yeah, I didn't want to be... I don't want to tell you how to do your job there, Witty, but Team A is problematic.
First off, as the lone representative of Team B here, because Chris seems to be playing the fence and doesn't want to get on either team.
Playing both sides.
Right? He's playing both sides. Team Zebra, as Witty called us for some reason.
Wait a minute. Who's Team Zebra? Was it you and...
Me, Stugats, and Billy.
Well, that why Zebra?
So we discussed this yesterday on our portion on the Team B portion.
I got halfway through.
Clearly that you didn't listen to.
We were talking
to,
about clearly. A giant TV for 30 minutes.
I was going to listen
to it. It was a giant TV, though.
I was going to listen to it, but then I just went on living my life.
So we sort of, they had a go at me. I was like, so I said, should we have separated into like zoo animals or something like that? Like, should I have given us
like
the name of a sports team? So I said like Team Zebra against Team Alligator. So Team B is now Team Zebra.
That's just how you say zebra
right there.
What?
It's zebra. You know it's zebra. Why are you saying zebra? Why are you cosplaying a 55-year-old Englishman?
Winningham, it is,
just like, stop it, man.
No, he's doubling down on it.
I can understand with soccer terms, but in everyday, you're Colombian.
This is what happens.
Relax.
This is what happens when an ego runs amok on the drunken personality of, I was doing so well as fancy lad. Now he thinks he's better than everybody, and he's Team A. He leads Team A. He climbs quickly through the ranks here at Metal Arc Media, and now.
I assigned myself to Team B. It's Team Zebra.
It's inexcusable. You've been calling zebras every year of your life, except for very recently, for no reason.
Here's a hot take. Can we track Witty and his phony Anglophileness to the downfall of the current English government and the United Kingdom? Because their currency, very, very bad right now. The economy is collapsing. The Queen has died. This has all happened since Chris Whittingham started pretending to be a British guy.
You're Brian Kelly, dude. You're Brian Kelly.
It's so fraudulent. Yeah. You were here earlier calling someone Dwight Howard and A-Rod fraudulent. You're playing British and you're Colombian. You're 100% Colombian.
I do have a last name that we believe is traced back to Wales.
Oh, stop.
Which
it.
I believe, last time I checked, is in the United Kingdom.
Stop. You're from Miramar.
Hialeah, get it right.
He is so Hispanic.
It's called games in Spanish. Shut up.
You need to stop. You have like 9 phrases that it's now, we don't get anything universal around here. It's like, stop flogging us with this, and then you double down. You double down on every turn.
I have to keep reinventing the character. I have to keep adding more to it.
Yeah, but your method.
I could say good shout, but I've said good shout a number of times now.
Again, so then, I get the soccer terminology. I don't understand when we go to Zoo Miami, you're like, oh, look at those beautiful zebras. Like, who talks like that?
Okay.
You're Madonna after dating Guy Ritchie.
But
I'm
fascinated by the differences in how we pronounce words. So I heard someone say zebra the other day. I didn't know that over there they said zebra, and so I wanted to say zebra. I've been waiting to instead of saying goosebumps, you know what they call them? Goose pimples. I'm going to say, one time there's going to be a goosebumps moment, Stu Gatt's going to say it, I'm going to say goose pimples. And it's going to be fun.
We need an intervention.
Yeah. Goddamn Damon D. Lewis over here.
You're coming with me to the Westchester Flanagan stat.
Mike, I'll meet you there.
Yeah, come on.
Make sure Sex Machine's there.
Oh, I'll meet you there too. This isn't even the egregious, like, we're all ganging up on him for the wrong thing. The thing that he did poorly was name the teams A and B, when he knows that the people in the B group, Stugatz and Billy, would use that to foment dissent.
Yeah, they said
dissent.
Fired everybody.
They'll never miss an opportunity to foment dissent. They are the Michael Jordan of weatherman when it comes to doing that.
It was a leadership breach. I don't know what the penalty should be, but I don't even think you can defend it, right? You should just publicly apologize to everybody in the company because it was very divisive and nobody sides with you. Do you have any allies here?
I want to know how you decided the teams.
Well, if you listened to the Team B portion of yesterday's program, you would have known that I tried to find good balance between the groups. Dan, the leader of one, Stu, the leader of the other, and figure out kind of the right personalities to put with both. And so I came up with Team A and Team B. I thought by putting myself in Team B. Yeah.
I'm beneath all you.
Hold on. Team B, representative here. What we did is we realized what happened, right? Witty put everybody in Team A and then decided to be a spy on Team B to see what we were going to do if it was just me, Billy, and Stu Gatz. He's like, I'm going to be here to make sure that everybody's following the rules.
You're the babysitter.
It's why it backfired. You were there.
He didn't trust us.
How many times during the segment were you guys rolling and he kind of like, you know, got involved? A
couple times.
Guys, we should bring this
Zencaster. The guy was on Zencaster for 45 minutes before we could do a show. It was crazy. He dropped like 77 times.
Are you telling Whittingham, in trying to lead by subjugating the self,
he called it Zedcaster.
In trying to lead.
Like a real arse.
When Witty folds his arms, like, I think Witty's livid right now. This is as livid as you'll see Witty. He's sitting back from the mic with his arms folded.
I'm defeated. I've got nothing to say. I made an error yesterday. In separating the teams, I'll defend that decision. But in branding, I absolutely made an error.
Well, no, but it's not just the branding error. It's also what Tony is saying, which is as soon as you got there, they sensed the general distrust of, oh, here's Team A's leader coming over to make sure we're doing the job right over here on Team B.
He's a quap. Mad quap vibes.
It is such a breach in leadership. But here, Whittingham, it brings me to something that I wanted to get to, because it's so much easier to look like a leader when everybody is winning. What are you guys laughing about back there?
I did say to the group that I did put myself on TV in part to provide adult supervision in the proceedings.
He ordered the code Z.
But in Witty's defense, imagine if the teams were just Witty was on A and I was on B. Like, imagine if we made that trade, B would have been a shit show.
So he did a good job. He just shouldn't have named them A and B.
No, yeah, he did not do a good job in any way. He failed, and I don't know how to punish him sufficiently.
The show was great, though, and it got out. Maybe not promptly, but it got out. But
to my point, he tried to do all the good things in leadership, and he failed spectacularly because he hadn't accounted for one thing or two. And I ask you, now as we've seen...
Which is just Stu and Billy are going to Stu and Billy.
That's right. But if Stu and Billy are not Stu and Billy, but instead are Brady and Gronk, and Brady and Gronk leave, and all of a sudden, 2 years later, you're left with Belichick and these press conferences that are so much less cute when you're doing it from the back. When you're on the bottom of the division, you've got Mike Ryan was convinced, telling me the other day, the Jets have more talent than the Patriots. The Patriots are the bottom of the division in terms of talent. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. I would not want the job in that city of being the guy who replaces Tom Brady. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And now what you get in these press conferences is Bill Belichick, not quite champion, genius, leader guy, but he's just not wanting to answer the questions, and it's a special kind of torture. Mike, you tell me this isn't a mental health check to be in that room, press room, with Belichick after 25 years wearing the same sweatshirt and giving you nothing in the press conferences, grinding his way through, I will say nothing. He's being asked, what, if Mac Jones will play on Sunday because they need Mac Jones to be out there because they can't be a terrible offense unless they have Mac Jones also?
I mean, his longer-term prognosis is probably what's in play here, because it was reported he has a high ankle sprain. He'll miss at least a couple weeks, so they're probably just trying to nail down a timetable for just exactly how long he'll be out.
Saw Mac a little while ago. Definitely getting better. Probably won't practice today, but made a lot of progress here in the last, 48 hours. So keep plugging away and take that day by day, see how it goes. Just take it day by day. We're not really doing anything differently. Day by day, Phil. Day by day. That's the plan. Day by day. Day by day is getting better. See how it goes. Day by day.
Does he have a high ankle sprain?
Day by day. What do I look like? A doctor? An orthopedic surgeon? Like, I don't know. Talk to the medical experts.
What do the medical experts on staff say to you?
Day by day. We'll evaluate him, Dave. I mean, what difference does it make to me? Do you think I'm going to read the MRI? Like, that's not my job, so.
Yeah, but it's theirs, and they talk to you about it, right?
Yeah, it's day by day. It's getting better day by day.
11 and a half day by days.
Seriously, was he singing Godspell?
I love that the press corps just doesn't care, that they know they're intentionally trying to needle him. It's like, what, am I going to lose interview access to Bill Belichick? Yeah. That which I don't have already?
Oh, no, he's generally so forthcoming with me.
It's so depressing, though. It's funny on occasion, sparingly, when you're grinding your way through a 16-game season and they're 14-2, and that is the height of happiness for them.
This is as charming as you ever hear Bill Belichick.
Imagine what it is now to work for that as the kingdom crumbles to the bottom of the division as soon as Brady and Gronk leave.
Day by day.
It crumbles that way very quickly.
Day by day.
I wanted to ask you guys something. There were two movie-related things that I thought everybody in the room would be interested in. One
was Deadpool 3 coming out with the reveal that Hugh Jackman and Wolverine is going to be involved. And Tom Hanks, I don't know where he would rank among wherever it is history's great movie stars reside, but he says he's only made four pretty good movies. He says he's only made four pretty good movies, and he wouldn't say which were the pretty good movies, but I think if any of you listening to this before you go through the catalog would probably say to yourself, well, wait a minute, I would say that he's made more than four pretty good movies, but nobody knows what the four are that he thinks, or what the other ones are that he thinks aren't any good.
Well, there's general consensus on films like Saving Private Ryan, Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia, yeah.
Castaway, I think, in terms of his individual performance, was fantastic.
Catch Me If You Can, for sure.
As the years have gone by, Forrest Gump has become polarizing, but that was at the time.
Sleepless in Seattle.
No, but Forrest Gump is not a bad movie.
I like Forrest Gump.
It was an overpraised movie probably at the time when you look at its movie competition.
Well, it's fairly ridiculous.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But I happen to really enjoy Forrest
Gump.
It's
still a great movie. Compared to Pulp Fiction, it's probably not the piece of cinema. Yeah.
Would you do me the favor?
Toy Story 3.
Do me the favor of, whether it's Big or Splash, when we go through his entire catalog, I don't know how many people have more movies that identify across generations. And Forrest Gump, at the time, Forrest Gump was viewed as a wonderful creative endeavor that he acted well in, that was a charming story. But for some reason, over the last 20 years, it feels like, and I've not gone back and revisited it, I'm pretty stunned to hear anyone say that that wouldn't be in his top four of pretty good movies, given how it was received at the time, unless there was all sorts of stuff in there that doesn't hold up well.
Wasn't he praised for Sully, too, and Captain Phillips? Also, what do we do with A League of Their Own here? That's considered an amazing...
Is this faux humility? Because he's done a lot of good movies.
He's done some stinkers, too.
Yeah.
The Da Vinci Code.
There is nobody who hasn't, though, material. Right? There is not a person. DiCaprio. Is there a person? Is there an? Is there? You can't say that of Streep, of anybody.
You could say that about pretty much every person in Hollywood. Like, yeah. They all. Not every film is going to be the best film ever.
DiCaprio's kind of bangers only lately.
He's been in bad films.
Yeah, Shutter Island.
Well, but I'm talking about people whose choices are so discerning.
No, don't be a Shutter Island guy. Come on. Don't be a Shutter Island guy. Tony, don't be a Shutter Island guy.
Mike, it was a good watch. No, don't tell me you weren't impressed.
There's a reason
why.
That's
a movie that you think is sick when you're 17.
Okay.
No offense, Tony.
Wow, and? She just called you basic AF.
Wow, she did. Whoa! She really
of course,
did.
Team A looking down on TB again.
Wow. What can you do? Wow.
There's three Americans.
Whittingham, do you see what you have done, Whittingham? You British Columbian fraud.
So now he's Canadian?
Why are you laughing at that harder than anybody?
We should suspend him for a fortnight.
Yeah. Day by day. He doth protest.